What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer, and today I have the unfortunate question of, is Giannis getting traded? In addition to that, we have a very special guest backed by popular demand, the leader in the clubhouse for appearances. It is now a yearly tradition, a Kentucky Derby preview with the King. The King and I talk all things Derby, and he, you know, he gets into the Giannis trading thing as well. But great show for y'all. Back-to-back shows, two shows in 1 week. Sorry, Serge, this is a really bad look. Serge is like, what the hell? You did two shows in 1 week? You can't do one, you know, 2 weeks ago? But yeah, sorry, Serge. Well, maybe NBA Finals or something like that. But let's get into it. Who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So is Giannis getting traded? As a Lakers fan, no, God, please, no. I hope not. But it is seeming like that is an option the Bucks are going to be considering. I don't think a lot of Bucks fans are, you know, biggest fans of their general manager, John Horst. Obviously, after trading Drew Holiday for Damian Lillard, which obviously clearly hasn't worked out. Not all of that's on Dame. A lot of that's bad injury luck. But, yeah, it's a sad state of affairs in Milwaukee. I've just been hearing diehard Bucks fans who would never want to trade Giannis. As soon as that Achilles popped for Dame, you know, they switched course. They're like, yeah, that might be it. Giannis might have to get traded. It might be the best thing for us to do for this franchise. I really hope that doesn't happen. He's a generational player, a Hall of Famer, potentially could finish his career as a top 10 player of all time. We'll see what happens. I mean, a two-time MVP. He's as good as anyone to ever touch a basketball. And unfortunately, the Bucks might have to trade him. I wouldn't. He's your future. Trading Giannis is giving up. You're going back to square zero. You're going to a rebuild. You're praying you get the number one pick in a year with a Cooper flag or a Wembanyama. It's not where you want to be. It's not what you want to do, but unfortunately it might be where the Bucks are at. So is Giannis getting traded? I hope not, but he might. He might, because in terms of the Bucks' best path forward to having a legitimate future, it's probably selling out, going full Sam Presti, Oklahoma City Thunder, and trading Giannis for 5 first-round picks, you know. Like I said, I hope it doesn't happen. I don't think Bucks fans want it to happen, but I think a lot of Bucks fans understand if the move is made, that they see where it's coming from, and they can see why it unfortunately could be their best path forward. But yeah, sad Bucks talk. I indirectly already addressed this stuff with my podcast that I recorded before the Bucks game and posted after with the, you know, question, is Milwaukee bucked? Yeah, they're bucked. And I look forward to first your interruption in the show, where we will hear from Mr. Giannis Antetokounmpo after a little brawl. Not brawl's a bad way to put it, but a little skirmish took place after the Pacers ended their season. Let's move on to some of the other series. Can the blanks make history? I don't know. Probably not. No. If you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, you'll have to wait for me to put a post-it note in this F-bomb jar, because I just said the F-word for no good reason. But can the blanks make history? I am referring to the Houston Rockets, and I'm referring to the Detroit Pistons. Both of those teams are down 3-1 in the first round here. It's not technically making history, because there have been two 3-1 comebacks in NBA history. There's never been one in the first round, though, so I guess that's a record. But they're looking to be the third team ever to do it. The Rockets looked really good last night. They kicked the shit out of the Warriors, won by, I don't know, 15, 20 points, something like that. And the Pistons did well against the Knicks. I think that next game is tonight. That series is at 3-2. It was 3-1 at one point. Pistons got absolutely hosed, by the way. I don't think I brought that up last show. Lakers got hosed in a game two, in game four as well. But yeah, our season's over. And yeah, not looking good. I'm going to get into that with my next question. But no, I don't think the Rockets are going to beat the Warriors. Do I think the Pistons can beat the Knicks? Yes, I think they're going to win game six. Do I think they're going to win game seven, though? No. But I think they got a chance. I think they got a chance. It would be one of the greatest stories in NBA history to go from, what, being a 10-12 win team to going to the playoffs and you know, doing a 3-1 comeback to the New York Knicks. So that would be really cool. But no, neither of these teams are probably going to make history. Bucks and Lakers tried to do it too, and they got ended real quick in game five. But yeah, go Pistons. They're a fun team to watch. I hope they can do it. And I hope the Rockets can do it to the Warriors, because if Steph Curry wins another championship, I might have a mental breakdown. I won't know what to do as a LeBron fan. The discourse will be horrible. He will have passed Bron in rings, and the LeBron-Jordan debate will be over. It'll start a new debate, LeBron, Jordan, or Curry. And I don't want that. I don't want that. But speaking of GOAT debates, my next question is a sad one. Was that Bron's last game? Same answer as the last two questions. No. God, please, no. I really hope that wasn't his last game. But there's a chance it was. He didn't play amazing yesterday. He didn't play great this series, I'll be honest. It looks like Father Time may have finally caught up to my glorious king. And I'm not talking about you, Mr. Dan Kirk. I'm talking about the king, the real king, LeBron, King James. I hate to say it, but he's kind of lost a step. I'm not calling him washed. I don't want to disrespect him, but at age 40, you know, he'll never be at the height of his powers like he was in Miami and Cleveland and, you know, even in the bubble for the Lakers. I don't think it's his last game. I don't think it's his style to kind of just retire out of nowhere. I think we all think it's more likely that he will do a farewell retirement tour next year. But at the same time, I mean, LeBron got his wish. He got to play with his son in the NBA. Bronny James was by his side the whole season, you know, mostly on the bench. But he did what he wanted to do. I think people asked, you know, years ago, they're like, how long do you think you're going to play? He's like, my goal is to play long enough that I can potentially play with my son. And he did. Like I said, I don't think LeBron's going to retire. I don't think that was his last game, but it could have been. It could have been. He probably should retire. I think he said he wants to, he doesn't want to retire when he's no longer good at the game. He wants to retire. I mean, retire on top. How many players do that where they, you know, they end their career with a championship? But I think he wants to retire when he's still, you know, one of the top players in the league. But that's looking more and more unlikely that he's kind of in that superstar tier this late in his career at age 40. But yeah, no, I don't think it was his last game. I think he'll do a retirement tour next year. But I will say I would gain a lot of respect. I mean, I have so much respect for LeBron. There's not much to gain as a, you know, people jokingly say Bronsexual, a very offensive term. By the way, that's basically a slur to us Lakers fans. But where was I going with this? Yeah, he'll probably do the retirement tour next year. But I think a lot of people would gain a lot of respect for him if he, you know, shocked everyone and just kind of retired out of nowhere. But probably won't how that'll go down. I hope he gets one more crack at a championship next year with Luka and hopefully a center. We got dominated by Rudy Gobert. Maybe we should have played our center, Jackson Hayes. Maybe he should have gotten a couple minutes. Maybe Rudy Gobert wouldn't have had 27 and 24 then. But yeah, Wolves in seven. What a clown way to end last show. They won in five. Ant-Man is in the tunnel saying Ant-Man, Superman, Batman, Wolves in five, Lakers in five, whatever. It's a sad state of affairs in Los Angeles, but they have a great future with Luka. So I can't even come close to that level of empathy for Bucks fans, just because, I mean, not only will Giannis possibly get traded, but that was one of the most brutal finishes to a game I've ever seen. That's one of the most gut-wrenching and heart-wrenching losses I've ever seen in my life. Gary Trent goes off for 33 points or whatever, hits 3 3-pointers in a row in overtime, and then has 2 turnovers at the end of the game. Just brutal, brutal finish to that game. Hard to watch, even as a, you know, a secondary Bucks fan. Speaking of stuff that's hard to watch, though, why is everyone prank calling? I talked a lot of Shador last podcast, but I didn't mention the prank call. Shador got prank called. I don't know if it was round 2 or 3, but it was earlier than he was picked. He got called. Someone called, said, "Hey, this is Mickey Bloomis," or whatever, the GM of the Saints. "We're going to, you know, it's been a long wait." And Shador's like, "Yeah, it's been a long wait." And then the guy goes, "You're going to have to wait a little longer." Horrible prank call. It was one of the few times I've seen unanimous agreement on something on social media. Everyone is agreeing. That is completely nasty work. And the crazy part of it is, maybe this isn't that crazy, this is how he got Shador's number, we all assume. But the prank caller to Shador is the son of Falcons' current defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich. He was the interim coach for the New York Jets last year. And, yeah, you would assume that's how he got the number. He maybe went into Jeff Ulbrich's phone, or maybe the family iPad, where there's always the, you know, the iCloud sharing. That's weird as hell. Yeah, he's probably stole the phone number from his dad and thought, hey, this would be hilarious. Probably either drunk as shit or dumb as shit for Mr. Jax Ulbrich to do it, who did apologize. But yeah, I don't know how many people are going to be accepting that apology. They're just going to see it as nasty work. But the NFL did respond. They fined the Falcons $250,000 and DC Jeff Ulbrich $100,000 for failing to prevent the disclosure of confidential information distributing to the club in advance of the NFL draft. They're not, you can't fine them for making a prank call, but you can fine them because sounds like you guys are the ones who leaked the number. But the other numbers, I don't know who leaked these numbers, because why is everyone prank calling? It wasn't just Shador. There were other guys that got prank called. The most fucked up one is probably, and damn it, that's a dollar or a post-it note for the F-bomb jar. But the most messed up one was Isaiah Bond. That's the most messed up draft call, because he didn't get drafted. So he didn't have that consolation, and you can't really put the prank phone call behind you, because, you know, it was, that's the nastiest one. You didn't even get drafted, and you thought you did for a second there. So yeah, tough couple of months for Isaiah Bond, who was getting clowned because he said he was going to run a 4-1, ended up running a 4-4, 4-5, whatever. And now this with the prank call. A top 3 pick was also one of the prank callees. Is that how you say it? One of the guys who got prank called. It turns out Abdul Carter also got a prank call during the second pick. He got picked at pick 3, but during the second pick, the caller said he was from the Jaguars and they're going to select him with the number 2 overall pick. Carter's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, said, "It's unfortunate that these private numbers are getting to the people making the prank calls. Abdul and I knew it was BS and didn't even tell his family about the call." Moments later, Carter got the real call from the Giants, the team that selected him 3rd overall. I wonder how they knew the call was BS. I guess Rosenhaus probably has all the numbers of the teams and was like, "This is not the Jaguars." But yeah, messed up, guys. Nasty work. Do not be prank calling, you know, players that are about to get drafted. If you want to prank call someone, prank call, I don't know, I don't want to say Deshaun Watson. Get away from football. Go prank call a politician, or maybe not a politician. Who should you prank call? Your friends. What happened to simple prank calls like, "Hey, is your refrigerator running? You better go catch it." Not these nasty, nasty prank calls like, hey, you are going to achieve your dream and we're going to pay you millions of dollars to do so. That's messed up when that's what you're promising and you're not getting it. But yeah, apparently one player, I forgot his name, my apologies, but he got like five different prank calls throughout the draft. And I think he got drafted in like round six, but what a whirlwind of emotions that guy must have been on. I bet on that sixth call when it was the actual GM of whatever team drafted him. It's like the boy who cried wolf. He's like, should I really believe this? And then he probably saw it pop up on TV. He's like, okay, thank God that one was real. But yeah, messed up. Stop prank calling people, guys. And yeah, speaking of getting pranked, let's get to first year interruption with Mr. Giannis Antetokounmpo. He got pranked. I don't know. Prank's not the word. It's a decent word for it. He got pranked by Tyrese Halliburton's dad. Not Tyrese Halliburton, Tyrese Halliburton's dad. Yes, Tyrese Halliburton did hit the game winner. That will be in the goosebump moments of the week here. But yeah, if anyone didn't watch the end of the Bucks-Pacers series, amazing game, went to overtime. Halliburton hits the game winner with 1 second left. And after the buzzer sounds, Tyrese Halliburton's dad, who was sitting baseline, walks on the court. He walks past Giannis, turns around, sees, hey, there's Giannis 5 feet away from him. Tyrese Halliburton's dad is holding a Pacers towel with Tyrese Halliburton's face on it. And he shoves it, maybe not shoves it in Giannis's face, but was waving it at Giannis a couple feet away from him, just trolling Giannis after losing a gut-wrenching game and just very disrespectful to the two-time MVP. Giannis addressed this whole incident, post-game comments after the game. This is kind of a long first interruption. This is almost a four-minute long clip, but it's one of the best post-game press conferences I've ever seen. I'm not going to do the whole 15-minute one, of course, but these 4 minutes of Giannis talking about this interaction are worth every second. The yearly legendary Giannis speech, here it is, first year interruption with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
What happened kind of out on the floor after the game?
Nothing. This is the last thing I'm going to say. I won't talk a lot. Last the game, it doesn't really matter. One thing I'll say is that I believe like being humble in victory. That's how I am. Now there can be a lot of people out there that are like, no, when you win the game, you got to talk shit, and you know it's a green light for you to be disrespectful towards somebody else. I disagree. I've won the championship. They haven't. Okay, and that doesn't say anything. I'm not trying to minimize their effort. But I remember when I won, my mom, that she've never missed the games from February 11th or 13th when she came in Milwaukee against the Knicks, she've never missed a game. When we won the championship, I remember my mom, she was scared to cross. She was like, am I allowed to come and hug my son? Except now my brother does media for this year. He wants to come back and play. But like, except the Nets, you've never seen my family. Like, see, of course I see. This is not something that we do. We don't. I try to keep my family away from the game. But losing the game, emotions run high, having a fan, which at the moment I thought he was fine, but then I realized he was Tyrese's son, which I love Tyrese. I think he's a great competitor. He was his dad, sorry. Coming in the floor and showing me his son a towel with his face. This is what we do. This is what we effing do. This the F we do. This, I feel like that's very, very disrespectful. You know, my dad, if you guys go and ask and learn, my dad's not with us no more. My dad used to come in the family room and was the most respectful person ever. You know, when you come from nothing and you've worked your whole life to sell stuff in the street, and your whole life you'll be scared of the police of deporting you and sending you back to your country, you have to protect your kids with all means, you create this mentality of being humble your whole life to not kind of disrespect anybody, not make the tension high, the emotions high, so anybody can, you know, snitch on you, say something bad about you. So when he came here, I remember, I was like, Dad, why are you so humble? Why are you going to the family room? You don't even say a word. You sit in the back. Why are you like that? Well, don't worry about it. Don't worry. That's how I grew up. That's what I had around. So when I see other dads, which don't disrespect, maybe when if my son play basketball, I might be in the court. I might be the one on the court, and like 20 years later, you can play this interview and say, Giannis, you're contradicting yourself. But we'll see in 20 years. But I'm talking about right now how I feel. You know, having somebody's dad, which I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for his son, and I'm happy that he's happy for his son. That's how you're supposed to feel. But coming to me and disrespecting me and cursing at me, I think it's totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. Okay, and the I'm not the guy that points fingers, because in my neighborhood, snitches get stitches. So I don't want to say something, you know, for him to say to get fined or anything. But it's not respectful. I talk with him at the end, and we I think we're in a good place.
Yearly legendary speech from Giannis. That was just a really cool perspective he shared there. You know, I've won a championship. They haven't. he's like, I'm not trying to roast him here, but I understand, you know, being humble in victory. And I've heard people say, oh, how's Giannis humble in victory? He was shimmying on Malik Beasley a couple weeks ago. You know, he grabbed the camera when they were up 20 against the Pacers. But he wasn't talking really about like, the players being humble. He didn't have a problem with Tyrese Halliburton. He didn't have a problem with how the, you know, other than, you know, maybe Benedict Mathurin. I think they got in an argument after the game. But yeah, he wasn't talking about Tyrese Halliburton being humble. He was talking about his father not being humble. Tyrese Halliburton's father actually addressed all of this. He went on some local news show in Indiana. I was thinking about doing that as a first year interruption, but I don't even want to give him the time of day, because it was just so disrespectful, like Giannis said, and ridiculous what he did to just troll the, you know, a top five player in the league for no reason. It's like, big whoop, you guys beat the Bucks. But yeah, you don't beat the Patriots in the playoffs and then go start talking shit to Tom Brady. Like, have some respect for a champion, have some respect for an MVP. Halliburton's father went on one of these local news shows and they interviewed him about it, and he just started straight up lying. He said, and this is a direct quote from Tyrese Halliburton's father, whose name I should put on blast, but whatever, who cares what his name is. This is the quote he said in that interview. When I turned, he's talking about when he turned to look at Giannis, when I turned, it might seem like I was looking at him, but I really wasn't. I was looking through him. You were looking through him? What, do you have X-ray vision or some shit? You were looking at him. And the fact that he didn't come on the show, he didn't go on the news show to apologize. He went on there to lie and double down and defend himself after Halliburton, Tyrese, his son, said himself, yeah, my dad was in the wrong there. Just ridiculous behavior from Halliburton's father. My father said he should be banned from all arenas. I'm like, well, it happened to Indiana. They're not going to ban him, right? And I think a ban would be somewhat fair here. But you love it from Giannis. That was just a legendary speech in my mind. Sad. But you see something like that from Giannis, and that's one of the reasons why I would never trade him. You have to keep him if you can. Yeah, it's going to be tough to get pieces around him. You don't have cap space. Free agents don't want to come to Milwaukee. You don't have draft picks. But, I mean, is giving up and restarting really the better option? You had 50 years of very little success in Milwaukee before Giannis. And if you trade him, you might have to wait another 50 years to get another championship. So I disagree vehemently with you. The king, we'll have to agree to disagree. Don't trade Giannis. Don't trade your franchise guy. Although I can understand the perspective there.
So looking back and editing this, I realized I forgot to tee up the king. How do you forget to tee up the king? Here he is. Thanks for pulling up. Here is the king with his Kentucky Derby preview.
All right. Now pulling back up to the pod yet again is a reoccurring guest, horse racing expert here for a Kentucky Derby preview today. It is the king. King, welcome back. How you doing? How excited are you about this Derby?
Matt, it is a pleasure as always to be back with you. And am I excited? I am excited. And I will tell your listeners, I am the man of the hour with all the power, too sweet to be sour. And I am ready to nail this race for you and for all of us. We're going to make some good coin.
Was that a James Brown lyric or something in the middle there?
It's a mixed mesh. It's more from professional wrestling.
Okay. WWE?
Years back, it was superstar Billy Graham that coined that phrase.
Back when it was the World Wildlife Federation or whatever?
Yeah, you know, Vince McMahon oversaw it. It was on the East Coast before he bought all the other territories. He had the New England territory or New York City and New England. And then he went on to buy all the rest and he dominated from there. But anyway, I feel good today. I'm confident. I've done some homework. There are a couple of things, a couple of question marks, and we'll get into that. But I want to shoot a little something back to you. Do you remember when we talked last year, I brought up a couple of things about what makes this horse race unique. First of all, how old are these horses that are going to post?
Putting me on the spot. Two years old.
That's 3 years old. Okay.
3 years old.
They start racing at two, and they're three-year-olds. And how? Only three-year-olds. So the how old horses do not compete here. Later in the year, some of these horses will go on to compete with older horses and compete well, as a couple did last year in the Breeders' Cup at the end. That's kind of the World Series of horse racing.
Right.
That's when they open it up. For now, it's just three-year-olds.
So 3 years old. How old is that in horse years?
Yeah. Well, that depends. Yeah, that's a good question.
It's a dumb question.
Yeah, it's like they're 20 to 25.
Okay, gotcha. Now, right in their prime. Right in their prime.
Well, prime is four. Typically, it's four for their prime. But they're youngsters at two, and they're precocious for the most part, and that you start seeing them run. A lot of times they run green. They're a little unstable, not sure, but they learn. And every one of these horses points to this race. Are any female horses allowed in fillies for this race?
Damn, I'm getting quizzed here. I'm going to say yes. For gender equality.
Correct. Correct.
Yes.
There is a race run tomorrow called the Kentucky Oaks for just the fillies. The three-year-old fillies. Now, that race does not allow the male horses in. This one does. A couple of times it's been won by a filly. There are none in this year. Yes. And how many people are going to be out there at Churchill Downs? Take a guess. How many thousands?
20,000?
No, about 150.
150? Where do they play at a racetrack? Of course they played a racetrack. I was thinking like a NASCAR arena type deal.
No, it's like that. except there's many more people in the infield than you'd see at a NASCAR event. And it's crazy.
There's no place like Churchill Downs.
It's madness. You know, it's only for young people, in my opinion, unless you have a seat. If you're lucky enough to have a seat and in the stands, that's one thing. That's tremendous. But I've been there a few times where, you know, you had a stand and it's not comfortable.
That's a long time to be standing.
It really is.
But yeah, I want to table the Derby for a second. Obviously, that's why you're here. That's what the people want. I can't believe it's been a year since you've been a year ago today. Pretty much was your first appearance on the podcast. Since then, you've blazed through the competition, become the top requested guest back by popular demand. You know, You're taking a commanding 2-point lead over Goose in terms of appearances, but I'm glad to have you on. We might have to change the name to King Questions at some point. But let's get to the
Thank you,
Derby.
Matt. Appreciate that.
No problem. No problem. But yeah, let's get to the Derby in a second. But first, I had to ask you, and I think Milwaukee is not happy with you because my question is, why did you curse the Milwaukee Bucks? This is I want to put this blame on you as a non-Bucks fan here. Why did you curse them, King?
I what you're referring to, Matt, is that many, many months ago I said that it was in the Bucks' best interest to do the trade that dare not speak its name. And I know it's horrible, especially because I have a lot of Bucks friends that are Bucks fans. And as you know, good friend Chris Sergis, you know, has had tickets for, you know, years. And Luke, you know, your cousin and my nephew, he loves the Bucks. Has worked for them, and many other fans. And I love Giannis. He brought us a title. But there is no way, I mean, no thinking man's way to this team ever getting back to championship contention, in my opinion, than trading their one asset, and that is Giannis. And now it's reached the point where I think Giannis, he's such a competitor. Did you see him in the series? What a warrior. His trade value is at very close to its highest. You know, when he was a little bit younger, that would have been the highest, but he's still up there. Top three player.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to get some draft picks. The Lillard trade, which was horrific for the Bucks, has depleted all their resources going forward, draft picks. You're tagged with this heavy burden. I think, what is he making, $50 million a year, whatever it is? I mean, it's ridiculous. And he's an old man. He's injury prone. It's really unfortunate what happened to him. Great
really
player
is.
In his prime. You've got to take a realistic look. You're saddled with that heavy contract. Giannis has got to be traded to someone. There are a couple of teams I've heard mentioned. I don't know enough about the NBA. I'm hoping we can get Chris Sergis on. He's got some thoughts, but he's just too much of a warrior. He deserves better. He deserves his shot. We need to make our team better. It's the trade that dare not speak its name, but it's a trade that must happen, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's fair to say. And again, my apologies to the Surge and you. We weren't able to get that NBA playoff preview in. But yeah, sad state of affair with the Bucks. But I asked if you cursed them because it almost felt like you spoke it into existence. You were the one who brought up, you know, the Giannis trade before. Like, now all the Bucks fans are kind of on your side at this point. They kind of see your point. But it's just unfortunate we never got to see a healthy Damian Lillard and Giannis together. And yeah, with a torn Achilles at age 35, I wouldn't personally trade Giannis, but I can't disagree with you that it could be their best route forward. But
I would fire back, Matt. I'd love to see him stay. I just can't see any scenario. And Lillard is the difficult point. He is a defensive liability. He can no longer put up the high numbers game in, game out. When the playoffs start and you're required to do that, and that's what they would need from him, I just can't see that he could ever do anything. And then how do you fill these other spots to get top-line players? Because, as I said, Gary Trent Jr., you know, performed admirably, but can you rely on Gary Trent Jr.? I mean, you know.
We found out at the end of that final game that you cannot. He had 33 points, 3 triples in a row in overtime, and then 2 turnovers in the final minute. That was maybe the most depressing finish to a game I've ever seen. That was just brutal. I feel for Bucks fans. That's tough. But
tough
but yeah, let's not spend all podcasts wallowing in
that's for
in the
we'll
Bucks
table
sadness.
That for a later pod. Okay.
Yeah. Before okay, one more thing before we get to the Derby. Would you like to do a new segment presented by no
Sure.
one?
I'm always game. I'm always game. And I love the sponsor.
Yes. Okay, so this new segment is called Shador Standards. Shador Standards. Basically, this segment is me asking you the question, why didn't Sanders go until round five? Why? I don't get it. Do you get it?
I get it because from what I've read, Matt, and I didn't understand it the night of the draft, a couple of things. He had some negatives. He was not a bona fide top pick, with some question marks. But that being said, you've seen like six quarterbacks taken last year. I mean, there would have been a pick on him late first round, I would have guessed, or early second. Allowing teams to take a more solid guy that they knew to be good in early rounds. But he's a quarterback.
Sure.
And in this league, quarterback's the most important position. He slipped because the questions would, a couple of things. First of all, what's come out in these interviews, he walked in and he was very casual and cocky, and
Okay.
teams were a little bit worried. Like, this is a guy that's got to be the team leader. And they didn't see the qualities that they typically expect, from, a guy that gets it. And
Right.
that was alarming to them. And the second thing, and no one has said this, but I suspect this played a huge part in it. As soon as he gets with a team, all of the media coverage is going to be on him. There are going to be questions on a coach. There's going to be questions on why he's not playing, and the general manager, and if he's not starting.
Right.
And then you've got the whole media circus with Dion and maybe Dion chiming in. I definitely suspect that's why the drop from the second to the, what was it, the fifth round he was picked.
Fifth round, yeah, it's
Yeah,
crazy.
and I think that can only help Sanders, give him a chip on his shoulder, and it's good. But if he does have these qualities that many people think he has, they're, a little rough, and if he does, he'll rise above it. But it's good to not be given that mantle right away. So I kind of think for him, that'll help that he was knocked back a peg, and see how he responds. The media circus is going to be there though now,
Oh,
anyway.
yeah.
But we'll see what happens. I mean, it's just a talking point, but it gives the press and everybody something to talk about. So.
It's gonna be crazy. You're gonna have Browns fans game one calling for them to bench Joe Flacco and put in Shador. It's gonna Kevin Stefanski's gonna hear him chanting. I don't even know what they would chant.
The
Put in
awkward
Shador.
part was Dylan
We want
Gabriel.
Shador. Yeah, that's the weirdest part of it all, really. I mean, why take Gabriel there and then Sanders?
That was awkward. I don't mind them taking all the quarterbacks, almost like Gutekunst did last year with the safeties and stuff. Try and find one that's going to make, again, it's the most important position, but you could be in a lot worse places for either of those two quarterbacks than to sit and learn behind Joe Flacco.
Oh,
Joe
yeah.
Flacco knows the game,
Yep.
and
For sure.
he's a really good guy, if I understand, and they'll be able to get, some kind of insight into how to play the position while they sit for a bit. I don't know how long, but we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I'm rooting for Sanders. Everyone, the media circus, all the flashiness. That's what those are the most entertaining players to me. I want a player who I don't
Yeah.
know how he's gonna act. If he's all buttoned up and normal like Dak Prescott, it's not as interesting. So
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he can do in Cleveland. But
No, I
let's
get
get
it.
to it. Yeah, the reason you're here. The reason I think you're wearing a fedora and a chain,
Let's get that in there.
you're looking like Jack Nicklaus in Chinatown or something like that.
Yeah, I like it.
But
I've been called worse.
that's
As
the
long as you
King's
don't call
Derby
me
fan.
Captain
That
Kangaroo.
oh that chain says King on it.
Oh,
Woo!
absolutely. That's the King bling. And I brought it out because I am the king, for at least for a couple of days. Afterward, I get all the texts when people don't make money, and then I get out of town. But
Yeah.
for now,
I
I am very confident, Matt. So go
Yeah.
ahead.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. You're the king until someone spends a lot of money taking your advice, and then you're back to being a peasant if you don't get the bet right. But let's get into it. Kentucky Derby preview. I'm a broke man, okay? I'm a broke man. So personally, where I'm interested, where I want to go to Pottawatomie and maybe get my money up is with this question. Give me a long shot. Give me a long shot. We spoke on the phone. You told me, this is a year for favorites. This is a year I like the favorites more than other years. But come on, give me a long shot. I need some money. I'm really broke. Help me out here.
Matt, I will help you out, but let me tell you this. Last year, I told you the most likely winner of the Kentucky Derby was a horse called Fierceness. But I told you that I was very, very unsure of the horse, and
They were
I
even more
was.
heavily favored than the favorite this year, right? They were like
Oh,
five
yeah.
to two, right?
And he deserved it. He had won a couple of, he had higher speed figures than the horse this year that I'm going to tout. But I told you that you could not trust him because he was like the 2-year-old, like the kid in grade school who was 6'2", and he dominated, and then everyone caught up to him. He had trouble in two races where he didn't run well, where he got a lot of speed challenging him because he liked to run on the front. And that's exactly what happened and why I didn't trust him. And I gave you a horse to key in second and third. And that horse did run second. He should have been disqualified and put third for interference, which we would also add. And that's what I want to do this year. I can't get away from the favorite. I think he's the most likely winner. The horse is called Journalism. He has raced against the best horses in this crop a couple of times this year, three times, and won, and has looked good doing it. Looked like he's going to get the distance. He's typically facing five, six, maybe seven horses. Now he's going to face 20 or 19. This horse has stood out. He has the two highest buyer speed figures, and we'll kind of get into that a little bit. But the last one was earned with a very difficult trip where he was trapped on the rail, got out late, and was able to run down the horse in front of him. I like this horse. You're not going to make any money on this one. Taking a horse at probably like 3 to 1. I would not recommend betting that. If you're comfortable with that, that's pretty close, 3.5, maybe value to 4. If I see 4 to 1, I might bet him, but I don't think you'll see that. This horse, and the only reason I say that, Matt, is so many things could go wrong. You break wrong. All of a sudden, you're 15th or 16th or back to 20th. That happened to a horse of mine a couple of years ago, who ran a tremendous race, wound up 6th, but broke almost dead last because a horse came over on him and squeezed him. He's never run with this many other horses. He's never run with 150,000 people in the stands. That spooks some. But I'm going to show you how I would bet it. I would bet him with long shots running second if you feel inclined. And I'm going to have a bet for that. But I'm going to use him as my key horse. In my opinion, he's the most likely to be there at the end. And I'm going to play it like I always play the Derby with the key horse, him running second and third. And put other long shots in first and second and or third. And I'll have it written out so you can look back and reference
Okay, for sure. For
it.
sure. Well, we'll get to that, but most important question of the
Yes.
day. Best name in the race. Who's got the best name for one of these Kentucky Derby horses? What's your favorite?
I love only because I loved Holy Bull. This horse is called Citizen Bull, which I really like. And that horse is in the number one hole, which is a disadvantage most years, except because you have to get out. Otherwise, 19 horses come over in a cavalry charge and bury
You
you on the rail.
get squeezed, yeah.
Yes. That horse is trained by Bob Baffert, who's known for getting horses cranked up for this race.
What does that
And he
mean? Is
has to go. And
he
here's
shooting
the
them
beauty.
up?
Here's the beauty of it. He has speed and he will be leading a majority of this race, over half this race, maybe three quarters of it. He will be leading
Okay. Wow.
from the
Okay.
one post, Citizen Bull. I love the name.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you more on the names. What's up with this batch of names? This is maybe the weirdest batch of names. Like, obviously, horses are always named, very unique things, but this is maybe the weirdest batch of names I've seen from the Kentucky Derby. Like, East Avenue, Publisher, Journal, Burnham Square. Like, some of these names are even somehow they got weirder than
Yeah,
years past. What's up with that?
they come from all different walks of life, the owners. So you can expect many different, variations of names. And I will tell you this though, the one a lot of times because of the name, especially if you have somebody a human being's name, you will get all of the. There was a horse called something Jack
Like
a couple of years ago.
Rodriguez would be the human name this year.
There's one. That's not the one that's going to get a lot of attention because of the name. I'll get to that in a second. But this horse that was called something Jack had no chance and went off at like the third or fourth favorite. And that's what you want that. You want the public pouring money in. Now, I'm going to go out and tell you the horse that's taking money because of his name. And
Who?
that's Sandman. And watch.
Yeah, it's such a good that's probably the best name out of all of them. I'm a big fan of Sovereignty, and Owen Almighty is a cool name. That sounds
Yeah,
like
it is.
that's like a sequel to Bruce Almighty, but with Owen Wilson. That would be
Yeah,
great. That'd be a
I didn't
great
even think
movie.
of that.
But yeah, but back to Sandman.
Yes.
He's 6-1, but you're convinced people are just blinded by a one of the best names to ever
Because
grace a
of that
horse.
song by Metallica is what's
Enter
driving it.
Sandman.
Yes, and just that horse, the line maker puts out a line. Think on what he thinks the public will do. And I don't think Sandman can win. I think he can maybe run up for third. He's a closer. If he gets a really fast pace, he might have an outside shot at winning. But I am happy to see the money pouring on him, in on him to win.
Yeah.
I do not, I think he needs an absolute pace meltdown like we saw 2 years ago, where
Sure.
eight horses went out. That's when Rich Strike won and came back. He was a
Yeah.
dead closer and he was 80-1. That happens. You get chaos when they go too fast. But here you have
Yeah.
two Baffert speed horses, the one we mentioned, Citizen Bull, and the other one doesn't come to
Final
mind this time.
Gambit.
Huh?
Final Gambit.
No, but
Luxor
there are four or
Cafe.
five speed horses that'll make sure the pace is good. But
Right.
Baffert has two of them. So he'll have
Right.
one sit back off Citizen Bull and make a run. But the others will be pressing Citizen Bull. One is outside in the 19 hole. I won't get into that. Just it's suffice to say there will be enough speed. You've got the first tier, the speed horses. Then you've got the middle tier, the horses that'll lay mid-pack and they close, but they're not going to be right up in the front. That's where the favorite's going to be. I don't want him right up in front. I want him mid-pack, sixth, seventh, eighth, where he can get clear in a good spot, not buried on the rail. I want him open. He is the best horse. So I want him to have a good run when they turn for home. And then you have the closers, sitting anywhere from 12 to 20. They want to sit early. And the one that's there that's a really good chance to win, is sitting in the 18 hole and two others.
Sovereignty.
Huh?
Sovereignty.
That's it. Sovereignty's got a good shot to win it. I
A
don't like
great
the
name,
odds.
too.
He'll be the second choice, but he will get the setup. But I'm putting him in with my keyword. I'll show you how I'm going to bet it. But the two most likely winners to me are Sovereignty
And journalism.
and journalism.
Okay.
But
Okay. I
I would
like it.
not bet that exact-a-box. It's just not going to pay. You won't get the value that you need. And you're talking about making some money. I have a different theory on. There's some other closers that I think are going to be coming down the stretch that I think can get up for second if you want to play journalism on top. But if we
Sure.
play journalism second, I'll leave a couple of those closers third. If we play journalism third, we'll have those closers second.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll look at that in a bit. But the key here is that you get the necessary speed. Because if one horse goes out, Citizen Bull by itself, that's the most likely horse to go wire to wire. You know, win from start to finish. And that's happened before. That's happened. And why would that happen, Matt? Think about it. How would it,
Because Secretariat was
Nope,
generational.
no. It happened because a horse would go out and nobody would challenge it and say, we'll sit off this horse. And the horse gets away with slow or moderate fractions, even. And when they come for home, everybody stays in the same position because everybody's got the same amount of juice. It's called a merry-go-round. The horses never move. And that's because this horse has so much in the tank that even though you're a closer, you're coming faster, you can't make up the ground. You can't on any of these horses. That can happen if there's not pressure. However, there's four or five speed horses. I don't think the horse can get away with slow fractions. But that'd be a case to be made for the one. You know, he could shock if nobody went with him. But I believe there will be the necessary speed to compromise him in the end.
Gotcha. Well, let's get into it. You gave them to me last year. This year, do you have the King's Golden Treasure etched in stone locks?
I do. I will
Let's
tell
hear
you
them.
if you get if you are so intent on picking the winner, I don't like the value, but if you've got 3 to 1 or more, I think it's a good bet on journalism. I don't know that you'll get that at post time. You have to monitor. If
You
you
think it's
get
going to
4 to 1,
go down?
huh?
You said you think the odds will change?
Yeah, they change right up until the time the horses
What
go off. They're based
would you
on what the
guess they're going to change to?
I believe that horse could go off at 5 to 2, and that's
Oh,
a no
okay.
bet. Three to
You'll bump
one's a
them
no
up.
bet for me. I want 4 to 1 or better.
No
But
value in that.
no, I think that horse will be there at the end with another horse and him, maybe, or by himself. And what I really feel strongly is he's going to finish first or second. You know, there are many things that could happen, though. I mean, you know, I don't see the value at 3 to 1 or less. If I get 9 to 2 or 4 to 1, 9 to 2, you know, 7 to 2 maybe. 7 to 2 for me would be the cutting line. 3.5 to 1. I see this horse winning, you know, 2 or 3 times out of every 10 times you run the race.
You mentioned earlier that a lot of people are betting on Sandman just because they think the horse has a great names. I feel like I talk a lot I talk a lot about like bad juju, you know, like jinxes. Earlier in the show, I accused you of cursing the Milwaukee Bucks. So, my question is, how much do you factor like vibes into betting? Are you all business, or do you ever let emotion creep in? And do you think, you know, there's maybe a little something to it? Maybe, you know, the name does have something to do with, you know, how well the horse
I will tell
performs.
you in horse racing, whenever I've done that, it's never worked out. It's worked out a few times, but like last year, you asked me, you must love Mystic Dan. And I said, no, that's not going to be my long shot pick. And I missed my long shot pick. I'll have one here for you. But I have to have something. I enjoy the puzzle of it. That's, you know, and like, as I've told you, I've lost well over 100,000 on this in my lifetime. But this is the one
Oh
race that
boy.
I'm ahead. That to me has been my
Oh, okay.
education.
Oh, you're not okay. I thought you
Not in
said
the
you I
Derby.
thought you not in the Derby. Okay,
No,
I thought you were talking about
no.
100K loss on just the Derby.
No, but I chalk that up to education. And
You're in the green. You're in the black. You're making money on horse racing.
the just no, just in this race. This is the only race I make money in.
Not Saratoga,
No. Oh, God, I
not
get my doors blown in overall. I've only had 2 winning seasons for the year. And one of them was because I hit a lot of big races, and one of them was the Derby that year. And out of, you know, what, 30, 40 years, you know, but it's such a tough game to beat. I'm not a you know, do this for a living handicap or anything, but I know this race pretty good, and I've studied it, and I've made money on this race. I'm in the black on this over the years, and that's because of, you know, 3, 4, 5 big hits that have just been really nice, you know. So thousands of dollars, you know, and that's what you can do on this race. The why can you do that? because the public is pouring in money on names, just
Yep.
picking numbers.
Yeah.
That's what horse racing people want.
Yeah.
Uneducated money coming in. And when that's in
Right.
the pool, you
Right.
will get paid on your opinions.
Sure.
Where
Sure.
a normal $10 exact or $20 exact now can pay 50 or 60. A couple of years back, the year Justify won. He was the favorite at 5-2 approximately. I picked a $20 Exacta and it paid 60, $65 or something, $650 back, which was healthy.
Wow.
On that, and they were, it was the first choice and the third or fourth choice, second. And it was, but money was so spread, and that was a really healthy Exacta. And they were horses that figured, So sometimes you overthink it and do things. You can get paid in this race. So I'm going to
Yeah.
give you some choices, though.
Okay.
Let's get to the horse that I mean. I love, as I told you, journalism.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you
Big
a
J
long shot,
journalism.
and I've told you this that the Japanese are going to win this race one year. They are doing tremendous internationally.
They haven't
It's
won
hard
yet?
to tr it's hard to track their numbers.
They've never won, really?
They've never won, but
Interesting.
they are dominating. And last year, do you remember last year? Their horse ran third by a nose, and he
I
was
remember,
interfered with.
yeah, I remember Mystic Dan winning the photo finish, yeah.
The Japanese horse should have won. He was interfered with by the second place finisher that was outside. You remember that? The
Dang.
Japanese are too courteous. They did not object, put an objection in. They would have been moved up from third to second, but they
Ooh.
didn't. And everyone was flabbergasted. And there should have been just a natural inquiry at the track. Every
Yeah.
expert that looked at that, every horse racing expert said this was interference by the horse that finished
Right.
second over the Japanese horse. The Japanese are going to win this. And I will tell you that Luxor Cafe, number seven, would be the one I'd have some money on.
Maybe the worst name in the race. I
And
don't like
well,
it. I'm not a fan of it.
that's the
It's
only one because the odds
sounds
I
like a
think will be
coffee
decent.
chain in Santa Barbara.
I would also look at the other Japanese horse, Daytona Empire or Empire Daytona.
Admire Daytona.
Admire Daytona, I couldn't remember. One of those two horses could jump up and win. We don't know. They train differently than the American trainers. And they come to a race and people are like, I can't believe it. They just shipped this horse in. Every horse has been here from, a month. They're doing this, they're doing that. And they respond. And the Japanese are doing a lot right, especially with how they got one horse from America. They built up their breeding. They did it slowly and over the years, and they are dominating internationally. They are, for a small country, they are up there. Anyway, I won't go on too much about that, but that's my long shot play. But I'm telling you, number seven. But number eight is the most likely winner, and he is the goods. There's no, I'm not worried. Like last year, Fierceness, I told you, he might be the most likely to win, but I didn't trust him. And I had him on some tickets with my key horse who ran second, but I said, I am, not leaning on this horse. And he ran way up the track, 10th or
Why were you hesitant about the favorite last year and you're so much more confident about the favorite this year?
okay, the favorite last year, he ran near the front and there was a ton of speed in the race. There were like five other horses that were going to go for the lead. And he had a horse, especially outside of him, like the 19 or the 20 post, that had to get to the lead. He was going to be pushed and he wasn't used to getting pushed. He'd had two races where horses went with him and pushed him on the front and he dissolved in the finish. Then he had three other races that he won where he destroyed the competition. And put up these great buyer speed figures where he had things his
Yeah.
own way.
Right.
I did not like it. He was like, I gave you the analogy. It was like the kid who was 6'2", and now everybody else grown up. He's the bully. He gets
Yeah.
punched in the face, and all of a sudden he dissolves. Now, at the end of the year, he was the best horse in training. He lived up to it. But at that point, he had not grown up. And I told you that these are young horses, they're getting better every time. And that's something you have to factor in too. Any one of them could jump up and be, better. Right now, why I like journalism, he hasn't shown that he panics. In his last race, he was trapped on the rail, didn't panic, came out and ran down a loose horse. And it was an amazing performance. And he'd done that three in a row he won. He has shown that he is not flabbergasted by, now the crowds are going to be unusual. Now he gets 20 horses. None of them see 20. Most they see is maybe 10.
Sure.
And now they're seeing 20, you know, horses.
Yeah.
And, but he has proven, and he has a jockey, Umberto Rispoli, who not a lot of people know outside of the California circuit, casual fans anyway. And he is a very, very astute rider. He knows he can't be too close to the pace. Stay in the middle until he's got to press a button. When he does that, he's got to be clear, and I can't see him losing from there. But that's a big if. You know, there are all these horses trying to, you know, pin him in, trying to, you know, take his position. So it's not a given. But that's why I trust him. His buyer speed figures, which everyone has, out of the, say, 100 to 150 races that these 20 horses have run, maybe more, you know, 200, he has the two highest. 107, 102. Those are the two highest. Only one of the horse has a 100. Now, it's typically one with about a 102, 103 now. Used to be one with like a 113 years back when the horses had more foundation under them. And I won't get into that, but I'm just saying this is, nobody has stood out yet except him. And
That's. Yeah. Well, so give them to me. Let me get them. Give me the King's Golden Treasure, etch it in stone locks. Did I get that name right?
Matt, you asked for a price play. Okay.
Yes.
And there are a couple here. The ones that I have checked, I'm going to give you five of them. And one of them has got a box around it. Okay. Can you
back
see
it up
that?
A little? Back it up. They're perfect right there. Okay. We can see.
I am key for your exactas, and I'm telling you to do this $5.
Okay.
The 8 over the 6, the Japanese horse, the 7, the Japanese horse, the 14, Tiztastic, and what was the other one?
Which number? 14, 21. 9, 21.
Now, why 21's I have 20, that's $25. Okay. Those exactas will pay healthy. Okay.
Who's horse 21? I thought there was only 20 horses.
There are. But remember Rich Strike, who won the Derby a couple of years ago?
Yeah,
he scratched
the biggest
in.
Long shot.
He was
horse. Ah.
Okay. And this horse, Baeza, journalism beat him, ran him down in the last race, but not by much. If this horse gets in, he's got a shot to run second. He's got a bad post. He'll be in the 20 hole, but he'll be horse 21. That's for $5 if you want exactas. I'm going to kind of steer you if, or pick one of those that you want to run second. You notice I don't have the horse I think is most likely to be in that second spot, and that's the 18. I don't like the value on that exacta. Those are the two most likely.
This one, you're basically picking horse 8 to finish ahead of all these horses?
Yes. Now you can box them. It would double the bet. I will have some boxes, especially with the 7-14. And
so do you need to hit all, you need to hit all five of those to win the 25?
No, any one of them.
So you put all five of them in a bet, and if you hit one,
yes,
you win.
Correct.
Oh, I like that. What happens if you hit all five?
You can hit all five. It's first and second. So I've got five different guys for second. Only one of them can finish second.
Right.
Okay. So, you probably get paid about for every dollar, maybe, you know, 20 to 30, maybe.
What do the check marks signify?
A couple of long shots, 40 to 45, 50, you know, and you get
what
that
is this? What's the significance of the check marks?
Those are the two that I favor the most.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Okay. That's a good thing you asked me that, because I did check. Those are the ones I'll be in.
All right. That's a $5 exacta for Mr. Journalism. Right.
Yes. Okay. Journalism over any of those five.
Okay.
I don't, you'll know tomorrow if the 21's in. He has to be in.
Sure.
A horse has to scratch and then he enters. And I'd say it's about a 50-50 chance. I hadn't heard anything today.
Okay.
There was a scratch in the Oaks, but not in this one. But Matt, this is not the bet. I mean, you know, I'll have a couple of exactas here pounding, but this is not the bet that I want your listeners to do.
All right, let's get to that one.
This is the, these are 50-cent trifectas, okay?
Okay.
Three of them. Okay, three bets that this is $40.50 to get these three bets in. Now, you'll
Okay.
notice that I circled the eight. He is my key horse.
Yes.
Normally, I put him in the second and third spots only.
What's at the bottom there? Lift it up a little more.
Oh, I'm just
Oh, okay.
showing you how much it'll cost to do
Gotcha,
these three
gotcha.
bets. You
Okay.
copy it just like it's written. You say a 50-cent trifecta wheel, part wheel. And you list the numbers in the first spot. And when you see the slash mark, you say, after listing all those numbers, with. Then you list the next three numbers, and then you say, with. And then you
Okay.
say, eight. Then you
Okay.
say those three numbers, eight, with those all those other numbers.
All
Then
right.
I normally don't do this on my tribe, but I'm doing it here because I feel strongly about the eight. And just,
Yeah.
you know, to add that extra, you know, what is it? You know, $13 or whatever, I would
So
up
can
my
this get me
top.
rich?
Huh?
Can this get me rich? But
No, but you can
it's
get
a
your.
solid bet.
Last year, it got
Smart bet.
$550 back for 50 cents. So, in essence, here you've got, I don't know, about 100, let's say, not 100, maybe about 60 different trifecta bets. You can only hit one of them. And
Right.
you're hoping the best one would be to hit the longest shot in the first row. With one
Okay.
of these horses running second, these three, and the eight
Okay.
running third. That would pay the most. You got to get the eight out of the top. But if the eight
Right.
runs second, you got a shot.
Okay.
And let's see.
It's
That notice that
complicated.
15 is that horse is in here. Is that the
Oh, that
18?
says 14.
No, that bottom one. What is that?
At the third row.
Yeah, it's right there. The 16, I believe.
The 21. You can turn it
Oh,
around and look at
21.
it
It
quick.
is. That's backwards.
Yeah,
You're right. That's 20.
okay.
If he gets in, that's why I got him listed below. Okay.
Right, right,
If he
right,
gets
right.
in. So
Gotcha.
anyway, that's how I see it.
All right. I love it.
So give it a shot. And there's the numbers. And
Yeah. Yeah, anyone can yeah, take a quick screenshot and head over to Pottawatomie. I might have to do that
that's the one.
tomorrow.
It's the most fun, and it's like you're watching a horse, in my opinion. And my key horse almost always is right there at the end, and that's what I like. I haven't always hit it, but it's the one that's paid me the most money. I'll give you, for instance, I had Menifee 1 year. Menifee was about 5 to 1, 6 to 1, second or third choice. I loved him. I used him as the key horse with two other horses running third. And took the whole field first, and a 30-1 Monarchos won. My horse was second, and Cat Thief, my two horses that I need to run to third, ran third. It
Okay.
paid over $5,000,
Woo!
$5,500. Yeah, it was nice. I was in
Oh,
Pennsylvania at the time, and it was
big
nice.
money.
And it was a nice hit, and I just had all in the first spot. And you know, I'm not claiming to be a genius, but I'll tell you. I'm pretty good at a horse, picking out a horse that's dependable. That's like the horse last year that I had in that second and third spot. I knew that because he was a closer and he had proven he could, you know, come and run lady at good numbers, he was going to be there. And he took second. He should have taken third. He should have been disqualified. He interfered with the Japanese horse, should have been put third. But I had that too, you know,
Yeah.
so.
How are we feeling about the Phillies this year? The Phillies.
Why
Is
would I?
that or is that the what are the Kentucky Oaks? Is that what the
Oh, I
Phillies
thought you
are?
meant the Philadelphia Phillies. Yeah. Oh,
Oh,
God.
you're trying to think. You're
Shows
like,
you
is
where my
Bryce
mind is.
Harper? How's he playing?
The
No, the
Phillies, I love the
Phillies.
Kentucky Oaks. It goes tomorrow. And I looked up the field. The horse that I like, G50, is out. And I'm just, I'm. It came today, and it's, you know, I'll tell you, there's a favorite that I can't see losing, but I'm going to take a shot and I'll box it. I like Lacaro a little bit right now, so 11-7 for me. But the horse that's going to be an overwhelming favorite, even money or less, like it might be 4 to 5, is Good Cheer.
Good
This is a
cheer.
horse that's done nothing. All it does is win, and I had a horse that was called 50G, and he really liked the 5G. I'm sorry, not 50G, 5G. And 5G was scratched today. His trainer said that he was just lethargic and not eating, and that's a sign that something's wrong. And it was good. The trainer just said, no, this is not right. So,
Okay.
and I'm kind of glad because I was going to put money on him. That, you don't want a horse entered that's compromised. But I'll say Lacara, and but the overwhelming choice would be, here's a bet that you can make if you're going down there tomorrow.
When are the
Take
Oaks? Is
Good
that
Cheer.
Saturday? Is that
If
Saturday as
you can
well?
go Friday, you can bet the Derby at any time. You can bet the Oaks.
Right.
You can
Is
get up
the
until
when are the Oaks though? Saturday
it's
as
about
well?
5:30 tomorrow, or about five, four, maybe 4:30, 4:45 Central
Friday.
Time. And
On Friday.
Good Cheer is an overwhelming favorite. I
Yeah.
would, however, go to the window and say, I want to double and take Good Cheer with the two Japanese horses. And, they're going to win one. And that would pay tremendous. And I think Good Cheer is a lock to win, but we'll see.
Okay.
That's tomorrow. I'm not going to
Yeah.
bet a lot on it. He's an overwhelming favorite. And the only horse I think that could compete with him is Lacar. I might have a little action there, but
Yeah. You said you
my
got your
action on
best.
that race will be a double into the Derby.
Your best. You said your best betting record is on the Derby. How's your record on the Kentucky Oaks?
Okay.
It's
I
okay.
had,
Okay. All
what was it?
You know, we don't need the
Yeah,
exact
I've had a few where, you
monetary
know, where I've made money, Matt,
figures.
is betting the double, that race into the Derby. They have an Oaks Derby double.
Oh, okay. A
And I've had it
little
a couple of
parlay.
years for like a couple of bucks where it paid like 121 for a dollar. I had a $3 double. I just
Sure.
put a horse that I liked. It was 5-1 in the first race. I put him together with a bunch of horses because I really liked him in the Oaks. He won. And one of the others came in that was not a favorite, and it paid healthy.
Yeah.
And it was a horse that figured, but not, he wasn't a favorite or anything, And
Yeah.
things like that. I'm looking for value. That's why
Yeah.
it'd be tough for me to play journalism to win, even though I think he's the most likely. But monitor the odds. If he's 4 or 5 to 1, that's about the line I look to
Okay.
play him.
Value's the name of the game.
It
That's what they
absolutely
say, I
is.
think.
You've got
Yeah.
takeout, they have so much against you, the takeout, computer-assisted wagers, which closes down any efficiencies. For the Derby, it doesn't matter because everybody bets it, and there's so much public money that you get paid. It's one of the rare
Yeah.
races that the Preakness, a couple of races where
Sure.
the pots are so big,
Yeah.
you get paid regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a painting of Secretariat behind you. I
Yes.
have to ask you. This is the toughest question of the podcast for you. Do you think Secretariat's legacy is tainted from all the steroid usage?
I have heard that because he had the biggest heart, and
He was
that's
juicing.
unproven.
He was
That's unproven.
juicing.
You hear whispers about every horse, but his
Yeah.
heart was huge. It was like twice the size of a normal heart.
That's what
He did
happens
an
when you do
autopsy.
steroids. Your heart grows, right?
I don't know that, but that's where you get all these whispers, and they're unfounded. Nobody knows that. Secretariat was just incredible. Just what, go back and look at its races. I mean, you could press a button on that horse and it would fly around everybody. He was just what a horse. And Matt, I will ask you, when you look at that, do you see the second place horse?
No,
That's a
that
great,
horse is
that's great.
35 lengths away, right?
35 length of football field. He
Oh,
that
that's
was
a
the
hundred
Belmont Stakes.
yards.
He faced the
Yeah.
best horse 3-year-olds that year. And he absolutely destroyed them. One of the
And what
greatest
is it, a
I've ever run.
1 mile race?
That was 1.5 miles. That was the Belmont. This one's a
Yikes.
mile and a quarter. It's one less
Yeah.
panel, as they say, one less furlong.
Sure. But yeah, that's the GOAT Secretariat.
In my opinion, there are others. Old timers, when I was younger, would say, oh, Citation and this or different horses they bring up. Man of War only lost, I think, one race. The 20s,
Sure.
Secretary got beat a few times, but he had the track record at that time for the Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont. Three
The
records
Triple Crown.
all that same year. He was magnificent.
The record Triple Crown. Well, King, I really appreciate you coming back on, especially on short notice here for the Derby. It's a yearly tradition now, so I'm penciling
Thank
you
you.
in for next year as well, if that's all right. But
Etch
I
it
only
in
got
stone, my man. Etch it in stone.
etch it in stone. I will. But yeah, I only got one more question for you. But before that, you got anything else? Anything else on the Derby? Anything to rile the people up and convince people who never bet to go to this casino?
I think it's the first of all, it's the greatest 2 minutes in sports, and it is
Yeah.
wonderful. There's so much that goes into it with the puzzle. That's why people like me really enjoy it. I love the puzzle. I love the back taking pieces from the back and predicting what's going to happen. That's the fun of it.
Yeah.
Get with your friends, pool some money together, and cover a
Oh.
lot of horses. Look at those that
Interesting.
bet I did. I mean, get four guys and what
Yeah.
was it, $40? Toss in 10
Yeah.
apiece and root for that horse, the eighth, to run second or third, or even win.
Yeah.
I've got one where he wins. And then
Yeah.
you can watch the horses and see how they're doing, and you're in it to the end. And you got a few long shots in there. Have
Yeah.
fun with it. Have some mint juleps. It's a great celebration. Start early in the right space. Make sure there's somebody that's not drinking. Have some mint julep and lead up to the race.
What is mint
You'll see
juleps?
all the celebrities will be down there for it. They know how much fun it is. I mean, it really is a great time. But anyway, I thank you for letting me come on. I enjoy this, and I love to do these. And yeah, we'll get some basketball going shortly. And I'd like to hear what the Surge has to say. Maybe even Dylan, who's a shout out.
I hope they don't want to trade Giannis too.
Well, we'll get their opinions. I
Yeah,
may have,
well,
Chris might be swayed. I don't know.
that one might get contentious. I still am on the I'm gonna stay in my stance. You can't trade if you don't have
I
to, you
gotta
can't
tell you,
trade a Hall
Matt.
of Famer. But no, to your point, they might have to.
Yeah.
I just
I
can't I
sense
can't
Luke is
fathom it, but
wavering on that.
I can't fathom it. You gotta go, but it sounds like you think they need to go full Oklahoma City Thunder and just sell out. So,
Yeah, I do. You
yeah.
got to find the team with the draft picks. I don't even want these throw-ins unless they're really young, and
Yeah.
I just more draft picks. They that's the only way they're going to build. Get lucky on a Giannis type pick like they did in the past. Get a guy that could develop in the future. I don't care if the guy misses. Get a guy, take a shot with a guy that you might like, a young Luka, guys like that, that look to be promising, and get them young and
Yeah.
try and hit. And I, but it's got to start over. Oh God, has it got to start over?
Yeah.
No end in sight if
But yeah,
without.
last question for you. I know you're not a hockey fan, but you've been kind of hot. You had Florida winning it all. I think you I don't know if you picked this. You had, Chiefs Philly in the Super Bowl, I think. So you've been hot. So I don't know
I
if you
had
watch
the
hockey,
Yankees
but
and I had the
yeah.
Liberty and the. In the women's NBA, I was on a good streak this last year.
Yankees lost, but
No, not the
I know,
Yankees,
I
the
know.
Dodgers. I had. It's on your
Oh,
podcast.
okay.
I'm sorry.
Now we'll flip it.
Yeah,
No, I'm
no, I
just
had the
kidding.
Dodgers,
But
but they were
hey,
the overwhelming favorite. Not overwhelming, but they were like,
yeah,
close
I
to
had them too. I
two to
think
one. They were a 2-1 favorite.
I had Yankees over Dodgers. That was
Oh, you did?
preseason. But
Okay.
you've been hot. So can you give me a Stanley Cup pick? I don't know if you've watched a
I'm
lick
gonna
of
take one,
hockey
only
this
that
year.
they're the team I follow, but maybe this is the year. I don't think they're gonna do it. They'll get I think they get to maybe the semifinals, but that's Toronto. That's who I'm rooting
Yes, Leafs year. It's a
Yeah, I'm
Leafs year.
hoping they're having trouble dispatching now. They went to a they've got to go to game six with the Senators and
After
they're up three
being up
nothing.
3-0 in the series, yeah.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
you know,
no.
I'm rooting for them. I tell you, the NHL is a tough call for anyone, and I
Yeah.
really don't
It's
have a
really a
professional.
crapshoot, right?
Yeah,
No,
I
my
don't.
one of my best buddies, Nemo, he's a
Yeah.
diehard Los Angeles Kings fan, and he's trying to get me to be a Kings fan, but I don't know. I'm trying to get into
Well.
hockey. I don't really have a team. I think I'm considering the Toronto Maple Leafs as a team, though. I feel like that'd be a fun team to root for.
I love Auston Matthews. I hope he gets a cup before he's done, but.
Yeah. He's earned one. He deserves one.
He does. So does
Yeah.
McDavid. I think McDavid, does he have one?
Not yet.
Not
Not
yet.
yet. He'll have to
He's
finish
to
that
me, he's
series
the
against the
best player. I
Kings.
love that guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's why
Yes.
they call him McJesus for a reason.
Is that the name of Jesus? I
That's a
love
nickname. Yeah, he's a false idol.
the guy that beat the USA with that shot.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We
That was a clutch play.
don't have to get into that,
No,
but yeah,
but that
thank you
was a
so
great
much.
game. But anyway,
But yeah, thank you so much again.
my pleasure.
I'm excited for the Derby. I don't know. I'm worried I might be working during it, but it's 2 minutes. I'll find it. I'll go back to it, and hopefully we'll win some money off of it, right?
Absolutely. And thank you, Matt. And you have a great day. And just a shout out late to a guy we may see at for NBA, Dylan, had a baby girl.
Oh.
His wife, Brooke, did. So shout out to Dylan. And he is at home with mother and child, all doing well.
Yeah.
And with their first child, too, Wells. So
Well,
anyway,
congratulations, Dylan. That's awesome.
yeah. So, okay. I will see you and thank you again, Matt.
Yeah, no problem, no problem. I love having you on. You continue to set records. You're the most,
Yeah.
reoccurring guest. I think this is probably the first time I've had two podcasts in the same week, but I had to
Okay.
make up for the one I missed with you and Serge. You'll have to have
Okay. And
Serge
I've
back
told
on at
Serge
some
we'll get
point.
back on. He has
Yep.
some opinions, but we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Kirk
Maybe
out and
NBA Finals preview.
Get to your local betting establishment and get on those picks. Etch them in stone.
Etch him in
Okay.
stone. All right, have a good one, King. I'll send you the link when this is up later today.
Okay. Excellent, Matt. Kirk
All
out.
right, see you later.
Thank you again, King. Sorry, I forgot to tee you up. Let's get to the goosebump moments of today, or this week.
But moving on, let's get to our top 10 goosebump moments of the week. It's nice to have 10 this week and not 22. That's a lot less work for our editors here in the studio, which are me and the voices in my head. So let's get to it. The top 10 goosebump moments of the week. Starting it off at number 10, we have Heliot Ramos with a walk-off Little League home run for the Giants. He had a walk-off inside the park
It
homer.
is one for two.
Amazing.
Taps this one to third. And he throws it down the right field line. Ramos is on the move. And he is going to stop. No, now he's going to go to third. Here's the throw. It gets by him. Here comes Ramos. This game is over.
It's a Little League home run. He hit it.
Number nine, Cameron Meisner dives to make the catch and throws it to first for the game-ending double play.
Meisner dives and makes the catch. Throws back to first, double play. Cameron Meisner with a diving catch in shallow right field and then throw on to first to double up.
What a play.
Oh, yeah.
This is over. I'll tell you what the Padres could do. Head to the showers.
Boy, that's quite a play by Meisner out there.
Number eight, Byron Buxton lays out for the game-winning catch. Wow.
Right center field. Buxton on the move to his left. Buxton will dive, and he caught the ball. Buxton caught the ball. Twins win. Twins win, and the Twins win it on a great defensive play by Buxton in right center.
And Byron Buxton just didn't stop. He is in a full-out sprint, lays out.
Number seven, Ivan Barbashev with an OT game winner for Vegas over the Wild.
Middleton pinballs around and they score! Ivan Barbashev wins game four for Vegas.
Number six, Brett Hoden wins it for Vegas in overtime again.
It emerges. McKay plays it behind the net out in front. Score! It's over! Hoden off the one-touch feed. Wins it in overtime.
Number five, sorry Bucks fans, Tyrese Halliburton wins the series in OT with a layup with 1 second left.
4 seconds. Halliburton for the lead. 1.3 to go. Pacers by one.
Number four, Jake Sanderson scores an OT to keep the Ottawa Senators alive.
That played to the line, but not out. Sanderson hit.
King Sanderson.
Number three, Leon Draisaitl with the game-winning OT goal for the Oilers.
Okay.
Number two, Sebastian Aho wins the series on a double OT goal for the Hurricanes. Sorry, Plouffe Warrior. Sorry, man. That's rough. Number one moment of the week, Aaron Gordon with the first ever buzzer-beating dunk in the NBA playoffs history.
Take a look at it, but the official Sean Wright signaled it was good. This happened so fast. Oh, I don't know. Is it still in his hands?
Okay, guys, help me settle a debate. It's not even a debate. I'm genuinely curious and I want to know the answer. Did he get the shot off? Did Aaron Gordon get that shot off before the buzzer? I don't even know how you could dunk at the buzzer. I guess you hope your finger is not on the ball when the red shows up on the backboard. They counted it, but let me know in the comments if you think it counted or not, if it should have counted. You go back to the Pistons game where they got hosed and the foul was not called at the end of the game. The NBA came out afterwards. They did this for the Lakers game too and said, oh yeah, we made some mistakes in that final minute. Yeah, we should have called a foul there. Same thing about the Lakers. And it's like, great. Yeah, the fans agreed with you. We knew you fucked that game up. We knew you hosed us. And now we have to put in another post-it note into this F-bomb jar. But it was funny. I heard Charles Barkley saying on NBA and TNT after they're talking about this Pistons call and the NBA, you know, kind of addressing their mistake. Barkley's like, oh, great. He's like, they just called me and they said they reversed a call and I'm actually an NBA champion. So thanks, guys. You know, so it's kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I like them. I don't know if I like them putting out their reports or not. It's like, okay, I'm vindicated. I thought the Lakers got screwed at the end of the game and, you know, they came out and admitted a few mistakes. Same thing for the Pistons, but it's like, it doesn't help you. It just pisses you off more as a fan. You're more vindicated and you confirm your take that it was a BS call. There's 2 minutes left in the show, but I'll plug in my camera just for safety because you don't want it to die. And create an RSV file, which I did a couple weeks ago. I had to pay $40 to convert this damn file. But let's finish the show out with something I know nothing about, the Stanley Cup. My Stanley Cup pick. I'm not going to pick all the series. I'm throwing a dart even naming a team here. But here's my Stanley Cup pick. I like the Toronto Maple Leafs. Their odds are at plus 1,200, so you could make some big money, 100, to win 1,200. But yeah, I hate to agree with the king here, but from what I've heard, it's finally time. It's time for the Leafs to put an end to their 48-year-long championship drought. You know, it's probably the reason why I'm a terrible bettor, but this year seems like the Leafs' year. It feels like the Leafs' year. I'm considering becoming a Leafs fan. And if they win the Stanley Cup, I think I have to. But yeah, I'm just betting on the Leafs here solely based on vibes. So don't take my word for it because I don't know shit about puck.